Today, the January 6th committee released a new transcript from its investigation. It's from the meetings with Cassidy Hutchinson, former aide at the Trump White House. In a public meeting, Hutchinson said President Trump lunged at his security detail on the day of the violence. But in additional interviews, Hutchinson told the committee that she felt pressured to withhold information. That pressure came from a lawyer paid for by the Trump team. The committee today released this and 34 more transcripts. In many cases, Trump advisors invoked the Fifth Amendment. With us now is Barbara McQuaid, former federal prosecutor and law professor at the University of Michigan. Barbara, hello.
Hi, Scott. Glad to be with you.
There's a lot of transcript to digest. Have you had a chance to look a little bit? Curious what jumps out at you.
I have. And what jumps out at me is just how many witnesses, as you say, invoked the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. And so, you know, to the extent we were hoping to read some of these transcripts and learn a lot of new facts, not so much because of that invocation of the Fifth Amendment.
Okay. And should we make anything? Should we make much of them pleading the Fifth? Or is this, you know, kind of how the process often goes?
Well, I guess I would say two things about that. First, every one of us has a Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. That is a very important right. And the fact that they invoke that right is not to be criticized in any way. However, I think you can draw one inference, which is you're not permitted to invoke the Fifth Amendment right unless you have reasonable grounds to believe that the answer would incriminate you in a criminal case. And so, you know, if they had no reason to believe they'd done anything wrong, there'd be no reason to invoke it. Now, I think the response they would make to that is, even though I did nothing wrong, I know this is all a witch hunt and you're going to use my words against me and twist them in some unjust way. So that's why I'm not answering your questions.
Yeah. Okay. Now, there is evidence that seems to come out in some of the questions from the investigators. You know, they have received a lot of text messages, encrypted messages, emails. I was struck by the Trump team sending Republicans in Nevada, according to these transcripts, what seems a roadmap, templates, press releases. In fact, the day after Election Day, a Nevada Republican official texted colleagues saying there is a major plan, referring to Team Trump and their plans to attack the election.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of evidence that can really be helpful in a conspiracy case. And so sometimes asking people questions, even if all you elicit is a Fifth Amendment invocation, is still a necessary step in the process to try to pin them down to what their defense is going to be. I think the theory that they're building toward, and which was evidenced in the executive summary, is this idea that this was a centralized or organized plan by members of the Trump campaign.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, in Washington, there are folks in the Department of Justice. There is the team that's working with the special counsel, Jack Smith. What do you think they're focusing on in these transcripts?
Well, I'm sure they're glad to have them. One thing they would do is, to the extent they have any witnesses they themselves have interviewed or put in the grand jury, they would want to compare the transcripts to make sure there are no inconsistencies with between what people are telling them and what they told the committee. I think they would be looking to them to see who else might we need to interview that we haven't interviewed already. They might even be able to just cross somebody off their own interview list. It could also just provide lead opportunities that, this person said X, and we have the ability to follow up on that in a way that the committee did not. We can use search warrants to obtain communications records, for example. We can compel someone to come testify in the grand jury by granting them immunity.
Okay. And Barbara, when we last spoke to you, you outlined what might be a pretty tight timeline for any charges from the Justice Department, or in this case, recommended charges coming from the special counsel by the spring of 2023. Does that, in your mind, still kind of hold?
You know, it really does. You know, if you charge a case, it'll be probably a year before it goes to trial because of, I'm sure, Donald Trump and any co-defendants would file every motion they can, you know, First Amendment challenges and all other kinds of things. So now, you know, we're a year down the road. A trial itself would probably take many months. And I think you want to get Donald Trump sentenced if he is convicted before the new administration takes over in 2025, because there is a risk that a future administration could do what William Barr did for Roger Stone and Michael Flynn and dismiss the case or recommend an absurdly low sentence. So I think if you want to have all those steps completed before January of 2025, you really need to get it charged by spring of 2023.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Barbara, anything else you want to mention about these transcripts or the House committee that made criminal referrals to the Justice Department?
Well, just one thing that surprised me about the report was the inclusion of inciting insurrection. I always thought that was likely to fail because it would be based solely on Donald Trump's speech, which I think would not overcome the very high standard the Supreme Court has set for inciting insurrection. But instead, they focused on the tweet he sent at 2:24 p.m., the one about Mike Pence not having the courage to do what was necessary. And, you know, that one came after the violence had already broken out at the Capitol, and Trump could see that all on television. So that one, I think, might actually surpass that bar. So in a way, that was really a brilliant move by the committee.
Barbara McQuaid is a former federal prosecutor and law professor at the University of Michigan. Barbara, thanks as always. Much appreciated.
Thanks very much, Scott.